You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, everybody. Justin Zarian here. If you like what you hear on this show, on Digital Noise, or anything else on this site, please consider being a subscriber. There are hours and hours of content waiting for you there, including, starting at $2 a month, our news podcast, The Breakfast Pub, which I write the notes for. But at $5 a month, you can also get access to stuff like The Gathering, our party podcast. Or at $10 and higher, you can get access to our movie commentaries, which tons of fun, lots of great stuff there. And, you know, this is the way that we keep the site going, to be able to provide hours of entertainment for you guys. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, once again, Oscar Blues Brewery, the original brewery to put a craft beer in a can. And they just have tons of stuff available for you. Go look up oscarblues.com, that's Oscar with a K, to be able to find a brewery near you. With that, hope you enjoy the show. Cue the music. So, Davey, I think you realize at the end of this movie that the real hostiles are us. Dun, dun, dun! And that's a review of Hostel. Thank you very much, everybody. Now, so this is this little movie called Hostel that we got sent a link to. It's developed by a French company, I believe. And I believe I also saw it's available on YouTube, if you know the links. This is not Hostels, the one with Christian Bale. This is not Hostel, the horror movie series from back in the day. This is, I would say it's a post-apocalypse drama, except it spends so much time being a bunch of other stuff that the post-apocalypse is maybe like half to a third of the actual story.
Yeah, it's a half of a 83-minute movie, including credits.
Yeah, which this movie's also really freaking short, like hour 15 minutes total, I think.
Yeah, if you're not counting the credits and the runtime, like it barely crosses the boundary of actually being a movie.
Yeah, although I would say this, I mean, I've seen some good movies. Like Chronicle was like that same length. That's about an hour 15 minutes.
Well, the Chronicle was a little bit longer than that. Chronicle like almost got to 90. I'm trying to think of good like smaller movies. Eyes of My Mother, that was a really good movie. That was like 70 minutes long.
Yeah. No, but I will say this too. On the whole, I genuinely like this movie. There's lots of stuff I do like about it. It just makes some very grievous missteps in a few spots.
I don't dislike this movie. I think there's, for an 80 or for like an 80 or so minute movie, I think there are about 40 really good minutes of this movie. Like if it was a 40 minute short that I found online, I'd be like, that was a good use of my time. But the other 40 minutes is kind of, it's ridiculous and it really doesn't connect at all. And then the payoff is pure and utter nonsense.
Indeed. But what is this movie about? Well, let me tell you, people. So this movie is set in some unspecified time in the future, you know, like near future, post-apocalypse, bad stuff happens, dun-dun-dun. We follow this woman, Juliet, who is the lone survivor working for ostensibly some other colony that she's a part of, something like that. And during a raid to investigate a few other areas nearby, her car flips over and she breaks her leg. In a pretty graphic sequence where...
Oh.
I know, Davey was having a little problem. People, this is a French movie. Well, a French-made movie kind of thing. You're going to see bone. Let's just say that. You're going to see some pretty graphic stuff in some of those details.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the level of, like, intensity in some other French films. Like, it doesn't get to, like, Martyrs or In My Skin levels, but there's some pretty gross stuff that they do here that's a little hard to sit through.
Oh, yeah. But along with that, there's some kind of thing out there in this world, like a monster zombie thing, which you'll see it once you get to the movie, if you see this film.
It's like the mom of the thing from The Descent.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah, it's like The Descent creatures, or I think you said it's like the grown version of that baby from Harry Potter 7 Part 2.
Yeah, when you see like the evil little like baby Voldemort in the dream sequence, that's what it looks like.
Definitely. So this movie, I will say, I'm going to start with some good things about this movie. I think this movie is very well shot.
Yes.
Like, it's a very good-looking movie on almost every level. It's got a great sun-baked look, even with, because the whole dynamic when they flash back and forth in time to, like, her past before the apocalypse and the current, and it's got this great sense of dynamic lighting and that kind of gold-yellow hue to it that looks really, really great. And they even do some neat, you know, camera tricks. Like, there's a whole sequence where she fights a monster inside an RV,
And they do that trick that they do in, like, Fargo Season 1, where you don't actually see the action. It's just the outside and the reactions of, like, bullet shots and breaking windows and stuff. It was actually pretty darn cool.
That was probably my favorite moment in the movie, is that it's because it's a long single-take panning shot, and you don't see anything other than, like, blinds being rustled, and you hear some noise. And I got some problems with, like, the sound design and stuff in some of those places.
It's very loud.
It's obnoxiously loud. It mellows out a lot, but for the first, like, 10-15 minutes, there were some major sound problems, but... Once, but like the actual way that it's crafted in a visual sense, I think really works.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think that works. Yeah, the sound does mellow out at some point, but I think it's just because there's so little dialogue in those apocalypse setting moments that I think they're like, hey, you're paying attention to us? Oh, no? Okay, here we go. We're going to say it louder! You know, kind of thing, but.
I think the inverse effect actually ended up happening with the movie because, like, they were worried about us not paying attention when there wasn't dialogue, but the only time I ever paid attention was when there wasn't dialogue, because the dialogue is terrible.
Well, you know, I don't think it's fully terrible, but that is...
That's fair.
The biggest problem with this movie when it comes to that stuff, which, I mean, I'm not done with saying good things, but a big major issue is the flashback sequences, because I get they're trying to build sympathy for this character who, you know, you really didn't need a backstory for her, I don't think. Like, this movie could have worked on its own if they had trusted the single narrative, which is clearly not the story they're trying to tell.
Right.
But the story they're trying to tell is kind of overly melodramatic at points, and the flashback sequences don't really help. Where, you know, she's living in New York. I think, was it New York that she's living in?
Something. She's living in city.
It's a metro. Yeah.
Yeah.
She meets this guy, this very suave French painter, you know, art gallery curator.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's living the life. It looks all good, except she's also a drug addict and, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's just the complicated back and forth with them. And it's just, anytime they flash back to that, because there's a really tense situation going on in the present day storyline in the apocalypse, that anytime they cut back to the flashbacks, it kind of saps the energy in the movie.
Yeah, that, like, that's where I was coming from, saying, like, it, I feel like it really should have just been a 40-minute short, because the tension is built so well in those, like, in the, like, I, like you were saying, like, the current day scenes in the apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah.
It's so well done, and it's so inherently sympathetic, because you're seeing this woman, like, fighting against the elements and this creature and other people, and it is so deeply compelling without having to have any of that extra stuff on it, that anytime they cut back to it, it's not only kind of worthless for the most part, I thought at least, mm-hmm. and it completely saps, like you were saying, like, it drains all of the good momentum of the previous few scenes.
Yeah, and that's a really huge issue in here, because it really has, you know, the stuff in the flashback is covering, like, a year, multiple years of story, where the stuff in the present day apocalypse storyline is within, like, a couple hours.
It's pretty much real time.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a little, you feel a little disjointed in certain scenes when that happens. You know, and I also say, like, I think that the main actress here, oh gosh, what's her name? It is Brittany Ashworth. I think she's a decent physical actor. Like, she has to, you know, convey a lot through body language and through actions that she does, that does well. But, man, it is very obvious that she's an English actress. No, sorry, English actress. There we go. She's from Britain.
Yeah.
It's very clear she's from Britain because, ooh, when she starts to yell, her accent slips up like crazy throughout this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just let her have her original accent. Because yeah, they let the guy have his French accent.
Why couldn't she be British?
Yeah, there's no reason for her to explicitly have to do this bad American accent. And like you were saying, like, she's wonderful in the action moments. I want to give her, like, I know you compared her to Alicia Vikander. Like,
yeah.
If we could make a second Tomb Raider reboot, I would just throw her in there and be like, you get to be British and you get to actually, like, do a lot of really good action performance. Because I think she's good at that.
No, I agree. And it just made me think of some times where it's like, I think we were talking, they were mentioning something like, oh yeah, it's really Ishii. It's like, Ishii? What was that?
Yeah, like, she'll just say something... And it's not intentionally wrong. Like, it's not an affectation or an accent that she's putting on. It's, like, her original accent coming out. And I'm like, guys, couldn't you have done another take?
Yeah, that I think they really should have paid attention to that. But, yeah, and the guy playing her, you know, the curator and then kind of slash boyfriend later on thing,
yeah.
He's fine. You know, he does well for what he's doing.
He's charming enough, but anytime he came on screen, just like we were saying, I was like, why are you here?
Yeah, and the guy's name is... Gregory Fotuzzi.
Which, so. If that sounds like the Frenchest name in the world, just wait till you see him in person.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Frenchest person to ever French.
He's like a French Bradley Cooper almost, I mean. Just like, yeah. He's got that, ooh, I'm very smug, but I'm very charming at the same time.
Yeah, there's a shot in the movie where he is smoking a cigarette and doing work on, like, the porch of his house. And I was like, that's the Frenchest thing I've ever seen a person do.
I mean, he just needed a beret and a baguette. And
I was waiting for her to make, like, a splint with a baguette instead of the little plank of wood that people do.
That would have been great. But yeah, you know, I mean, the other good stuff, I mean, it's, like I said, it's great camera work. The effect work for the creatures, when you finally see what they look like, it's pretty darn impressive.
I was a really big... There were a few things with the production value, like, early on, just like with the sound stuff, but I think that mellows out, and I think it looks, just as a whole, it looks really nice.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think that there's a lot of great stuff going on there. Now, we're talking a lot about some things that are back and forth in storyline, and even the stuff in the past, it's still with that level of polish that the present stuff have, it's just that it's not as interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when we start to get to the ending, there are some decisions they make. A few of them are kind of questionable at first, and Davey is trying his hardest not to just burst out laughing.
I'm so sorry.
There is one major twist that happens in this movie. You will just not believe it. Like, I suspected it might have happened in this movie. Like, the thought occurred to me, like, I think this might be happening. But no, that'd be too ridiculous. Sure enough!
if any of you listen to the podcast that I co-host, the Intern.cast show, we talked about a movie called The Titan earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment in that movie, and that movie is way worse than this one, but there's a moment in The Titan where... like, Sam Worthington comes out in the full alien makeup, and I burst out laughing in the middle of the movie, and that had nothing on the pure 180 flip turn that I did in this movie when all the cards fell into place, and I just could not help myself. I was cackling like a maniac watching this.
I was laughing, too. I could not believe that they had the balls to just... go there. I'm like, really, guys? That's the best you could come up with to end the story?
The balls and the complete lack of any sort of hindsight or foresight whatsoever.
Yeah, it was not a good decision. And that's the problem, that it seemed to end on a very decent note. Like, the scene right before the twist happens.
Yeah.
That would have been a good place to end it. You know? Yeah. That was a good, satisfying, you know, tail end to the story. And then they just go that extra mile for the extra drama. Because especially... the thing that makes the twist worse is that for a long time, both of us were thinking, these flashback storylines seem kind of random. Like, I get they're trying to tell her backstory, but it never seems like there's a thematic resonance or tie to what's happening in the past and the present.
Yeah.
Until they show you how it ties in, and you're just like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, it is so hammy and so overdone. It shocks me that the people that were talented enough to create those, like, really strong horror moments and those really strong, like, intense dramatic sequences could also come up with something this insane. This is Book of Henry level insane for, like, 3 minutes at the end.
I don't know. There's no incest or crazy... I mean, not incest. Pedophilia. Sorry. We're going on there. So, hey, thank goodness.
but, like, it is that level of... it just becomes funny to just look at it and go... How did you come up with this? Who let any of this happen?
Yeah, no, but, you know, I'm so conflicted with this movie. I'm like, there's a lot of stuff I thought was very well done on an objectively technical level that those missteps with the narrative and the twist just really make me feel conflicted with my rating. I really want to say I think this movie's not as bad as some of the reviews have been, but then some of the points that those reviews make, it's like... no, they're totally right. That stuff did really hurt this movie badly. So, yeah. I don't know. Any last thoughts before the rating?
If Topher Grace somehow decides that he's going to re-edit this movie and edits it into like a 30 minute, cuts out a little bit of the fat of the horror sequences, but just trims out all the nonsense flashbacks, I highly recommend that. Like, 9 out of 10. Like, that stuff's awesome. And I think it's a really interesting... way of doing one of these movies, but until then, unless you really like the emotional whiplash of being invested in a movie and then disinterested and go back and forth on that a bunch and then burst out in ironic laughter, unless you love that weird tonal mishmash. I don't know if I can recommend it.
Yeah, so what would you give it for a final rating, then?
I would give it, because of how much I really do love a good chunk of it and how much I really don't love the rest of it, I would give it 5 out of 10 Descent Babies All Grown Up Edition.
Coming out of Nickelodeon later this year.
I would watch that show.
There you go. I'm a slightly more positive, but not very far off. It's like, yeah, it's just such a missed opportunity. This could have been a really great short. Like, this feels like a really great festival film. You know, like one that would have been screened. Like, I've been to festivals where they have like these little short films or these short, like, you know, 30-minute things that are really great production heavy, you know, sci-fi films, something like that. And if this movie had been that, this would have been a great one. This would have been a great film to showcase for that.
Yeah, it's the kind, it would be the kind of film that, like, film school rejects would do something on. They're like, we found this great short film and you should all watch it. And we'd all watch it and go like, yeah, it was good. Like, yeah. It's that kind of movie.
No, and as it is, it's just an experiment. I will say, though, this director and writer of this movie, Matthew Turi, or Turrell? no, Turi, sorry. Not Turrell, he's not John Travolta. I directed this movie! But I think that he's got some genuine talent. I think this is something to showcase, like, yeah, if you can find a script that's, you know, maybe get someone else to write it for you. But, yeah. Or at least, you know, if you can find a little bit more focus, like, hey, dude, you're really good at establishing tension. You have a really great eye for camera work. You have a really great sense of atmosphere. If you can stick to that and try to withstand the, you know, more melodramatic elements of the story, you can make some really good stuff. So yeah. I want to see what this guy does next. If I see him do anything else, because I don't think he's done much else otherwise.
I believe that, because he was a second unit for a lot of things. This is his first feature.
Yeah, okay. No, he's done 2 short films, and he's got some other project called Meander coming up. So,
oh, he made a film about the flashback sequences of this movie?
About the making of this movie. I just kind of wandered along through the script kind of thing. No, I actually genuinely want to see what this guy does next. I think he has some potential in him.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this... Oh, it's so tough. I can't think of it. 6 out of 10 face waterfalls. Because the John Travolta stuff does not end there, because there's something that goes on for the rest of this movie that when you see it, it's amazing. It is brilliant.
And that's the only time that people will call this movie amazing or brilliant.